Well, good morning. This is the Lou Rockwell Show, and it's great to have as our guest this morning, Karen DeCoster. Karen is a CPA and an executive in the healthcare industry. She's on the board of Belgian Publishing, Inc. She writes for, of course, LouRockwell.com, the Mises Institute, the Mackinac Center for Public Policy, Taki's Mag, Euro-Pacific Capital, Claire Booth Luce Institute, lots of places. Her new blog is Detroit From Rust to Riches, and how appropriate that is because, of course, today we're going to talk to Karen about what's happening in Detroit. And she really is the prophet and the pioneer, the person, maybe because she bicycles around Detroit. She takes great photographs. And she was the first one to see that as the government receded in Detroit, not, of course, because, unfortunately, because of libertarian arguments, but just because they were too poor, the market has sprung up to take its place. We have anarchism flourishing in Detroit. So, Karen, tell us about the good news.
Well, Lou, great things have been happening here, and I started to notice this. So about early 2009, and really this was just post the bust, as you know, when everything was going to heck in a handbasket everywhere. It did here as well, obviously. We had the problems with the auto industry here. And I think the fact that we had this bust and the fact that we were hit so hard with unemployment and, of course, the government bailouts of General Motors and Chrysler, it really struck people that not only did we have 50 years of issues building up that basically came up to bite us in the butt, but this city had been reliant on one industry for so long, the auto industry. Everything here for years, my whole life, has revolved around the big three and the top tier suppliers and, you know, assorted other auto suppliers. So what's happened over the last 3 or 4 years is we've incurred some real great changes. I call them ground up, you know, grassroots, voluntarist type changes in Detroit. It's happening from the ground up. There's a lot of voluntarist, anarchistic type things happening here. And it's because people, and I don't care if they're libertarians, they're progressives, they're Democrats, they're Republicans, but people are realizing that government here is insignificant. And the regime and all of its satellite authorities are considered to be more of a hindrance to humanity and community prosperity than ever before. So what we're observing is people just going out and developing commerce, developing businesses. We've got amazing culture here of multiple things, including a pop-up culture, which you really don't see a lot of outside of Europe. You see it in a few other cities here. We also have a great startup culture. So this is really bringing a level of Detroit boosterism back to the city.
Karen, isn't there also a lot of, in fact, you've written about it and talked about it, healthy agriculture going on in urban Detroit?
There is. And, you know, depending on what numbers you believe, there's close to, I think, a couple hundred known urban agricultural farms here in the city, with the largest really being the Hans Farms that John Hans got permission to earlier this year to purchase his first plot of land where he's developing. He's starting off developing a tree farm, but I'm sure it'll go much further. There was a big disconnect over that issue because a lot of people saw Hans as a wealthy capitalist taking over the city. You know, in reality, he was taking over hundreds of acres of empty plots and hopefully many thousand more in the future. But it's really important that we do have a lot of small urban mainstay farms, not only the ones that you know about, but the ones you don't know about because they're homesteaded. We actually have a wheelhouse. It's called the Wheelhouse Detroit. It's a bike shop downtown, and they lead all kinds of interesting tours. And I lead similar type rides. And these tours will go out to the small agricultural farms to visit the farms. And a lot of them, we come across these farms in the middle of nowhere that are just homesteaded lots by the community, by neighbors, saying, hey, look, you know, we have 12 empty lots here. Let's do something with it. So you've got a mixture of the capitalism, some rich guys putting some money into the city. You've got some established farms that are well-known and they're bringing their products to Eastern Market. Plus you have those great little community ones that nobody really knows about.
Karen, also, what about private public transportation? Hasn't this sprung up? Didn't the city try to stop it but was unsuccessful?
Well, we have what's something here called Detroit Bus Company. The young man who started this he was about 25 years old. His name is Andy DeRossi. He went through, you know, obviously jumped through myriad loops in order to acquire all the proper regulatory passes on that. But he did start, it's been a little over a year now that he started Detroit Bus Company, which is really a phenomenal start for a private bus company. The guy is really working towards building his business. Right now, his main challenge is, I understand he's trying to get into that transportation, and I'll call it, it's a racket, the transportation racket that runs out of the Detroit International Airport in Wayne County. As you can imagine, that is very much a racket. Right now, there's one company that's pretty much had that business for a long time. He's trying to get in there as a private guy who's not involved in the racket, and he's trying to run service between the airport and everywhere else around the Detroit metro area. I hope he's very successful.
What about private cabs, private jitneys, that sort of maybe much more informal sorts of public transportation?
We do have private transportation services here. They're popping up. Right now, they're fairly small, and I'm getting some feedback from people that it's somewhat pricey, but that's not to be unexpected, really, in this environment, in the regulatory environment they're competing in. But there are entrepreneurs out there that are already on that. And of course, they're doing fabulous things. Like before, when they go into the business, they're set up to develop apps. It's set up so that you can be anywhere virtually, bring up their app, figure out where they're at, tell them where you're at, see where they are as they're coming to get you. These are the kind of things these smaller entrepreneurs are doing with private transportation. And I expect in the next few years, this is really attracting the types of people who want to run these kind of businesses. So I expect a lot more.
No, I know this is going on in Los Angeles too. And the city and the taxi commission, of course, are trying to shut these companies down, but they're so popular. As you say, you can see on your smartphone where the cab is coming to get you, exactly how far away it is, and you agree on the price ahead of time on the trip. It's quite a wonderful capitalist development. But tell us, what's happening with Detroit finances? What's happening with the Detroit city government? I know there's a special master who's been put in charge. Is he privatizing stuff? Is he cutting employees, cutting pensions? What's happening?
Well, you know, Kevin Orr, not a whole lot is known yet about the specifics of the bankruptcy. There's not a whole lot of detail out there. As you can imagine, the biggest battle has been with the entitlements in the city, the unions, and, of course, the pensioners that are promised lifetime pensions, lifetime insurance, lifetime on the dole, everything. So the unions here, the biggest battles that you see publicly right now are the unions here battling for the largesse. Their whole goal is... It was seen here as the bankruptcy was done on purpose in order to get around the pensioners and the unions. They saw that as a way of getting a bankruptcy judge to start throwing out these contracts. But in reality, and I think, you know, the web can pretty much accurately reflect a lot of this information. In reality, the city is insolvent. We've been riding in unsustainable insolvency for a number of years, like a lot of other cities, by the way. And it was about time that the bubble break. So we don't have a lot of information yet. One thing that is interesting that some people have been writing about is the Detroit Institute of Arts. Unfortunately, this great institution about 100 years ago, they ceded their right to their own art in the building. And you may have heard that that is owned by the city of Detroit. And they have put up the potential for some of that great art, as well as, you know, who knows what else, that is owned by the city, that's part of the DIA, as being a part of the bankruptcy and potentially a lot of that artwork being sold.
You know, when you mentioned that other cities in trouble, isn't Chicago in even worse trouble in terms of unfunded pensions and so forth than Detroit is?
Well, you hear about that. I mean, it's I'm not sure a financial comparison can be accurately conveyed. But, you know, Chicago has a much, much more, and I'll say an organized government. They have a very deeply rooted bureaucracy. Detroit is not quite so deeply rooted, which our ineptness here in terms of the government and their ability to get everything done has really enabled this anarchistic environment. But I think Chicago, things are going to be a lot more difficult. You don't see people flocking to Chicago to do these sort of things, because it's a very rigid bureaucracy. A lot of politically powerful people have run the city for years. Whereas the last, you know, multiple years, we've had the hip hop mayor running the city who's been in and out of jail since he left office.
I love it when mayors go to jail or other government officials too, right? They really should be running the city from a jail cell.
That would be wonderful. You know, it might actually allow us to get some commerce going and to break a few laws here and there.
So you, on your new website, Detroit from Rust to Riches, I assume you're going to showcase your photography of what exactly is happening in Detroit, not only, I mean, in terms of these anarchistic developments.
I do. And I, you know, photography has been a hobby of mine for a very, very long time, since I was a teenager. And the thing I like to do is just basically crawl around the city. And a lot of people are doing it, by the way. You see, you go down there on a Saturday, Sunday morning when the light is really good early or later, very much later in the day. People, it's funny, people are everywhere with cameras because the Detroit urban environment offers, it's so artistic depending on how you view things and look at things. You know, one man's garbage can be another man's perfectly beautiful portrait. So I spend a lot of time down there, and it's not just about photographing the ruin porn. I think the mainstream media does enough of that for everybody. I try to look at things, whether they're negative or positive, in a slightly different light.
And speaking of things you carry when you're going around biking, don't you carry more than a camera with you?
Yeah, I got a trunk bag on the back of my bike, and there's a lot of room in there for a sizable pistol.
That's great. No, it's great. Great. I think all women should carry a pistol anyway, right? I mean, isn't that, ought that not to be the rule, the informal rule, not a government rule, needless to say?
Well, especially here, you know, I do not wear rose-colored glasses at all. You know, going back before 2008, I was writing very blatantly and very honestly about the city of Detroit, about all the bad things that were going on here, all the crime, you know, street lights being out. There's so many horrible things. And those things still exist in the outlying areas away from the more dense areas of the city. And us Detroit boosters who really see the great things that are happening, we don't wear the rose-colored glasses. We don't pretend these things aren't happening. It's part of the nature of any city, like anybody will say. It's any city has that. We tend to have a lot worse of it in the outlying areas because the density is virtually non-existent. The density really is building from the downtown and outward into some of the historical neighborhoods. I wouldn't go down in the city unless I was very protected because I do understand that there's still a heavy criminal element. And of course, as you probably heard, we have a police department here that is completely inept, which is another reason why neighborhoods have been moving towards private security.
Well, Karen DeCoster, thanks for all you're doing. Thanks for telling the truth about Detroit. Thanks for bringing to bear your training in economics and accounting and other areas and helping us understand what's going on, that there's actually a lot of good news, combined, of course, with the disaster of the government, as always. But when government gets weak, market takes over, anarchism comes to life. And it's quite a wonderful thing. So thanks for coming on the show today and keep writing about it and keep photographing it all.
Thanks for having me on, Lou.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, thanks so much for listening to the Lou Rockwell Show today. Take a look at all the podcasts. There have been hundreds of them. There's a link on the LRC front page. Thank you.